For now, let's turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and we're going to continue in our study in the book of Galatians. Let's go to chapter 1. Today, I'm going to read verses 6 through 10, and I hear pages turning. That's always a good sign. If you have your place in Galatians, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Galatians 1, verses 6 through and including verse 10. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We'll stop right there. Let's take time for prayer here this morning. Father, as we continue in the study of the book of Galatians, there is more truths that you want to reveal to us here today. What are they, Lord? And today we're going to focus mostly on verse number 10. So, Father, bring new truths into our minds and into our hearts so that we can take another step forward today in becoming a little more Christ-like. We give you the praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I have titled today's message, The Favor of Men. This is our fifth message as we go through this expository study of the book of Galatians. In our last two lessons in Galatians, we covered verses 6 through 10, and we learned that false teachers were creeping into the churches at Galatia and presenting to them a false gospel. And Paul is very adamant in these verses in saying that those who present a false gospel are to be anathema, accursed, cursed by God. Why? Because a false gospel or an incomplete gospel cannot save anyone. So it's not a position one wants to be in to present false gospels to other people. And today we're going to look at verses 6 through 9 as we did the last couple weeks. But this time we're going to include verse number 10 to determine why a false gospel is being preached at these churches. So here's our question today. Why would a person or persons come into a church and want to present a false gospel message to the people? So let's look at some biblical answers to that here today. First thing I'm going to put up here, let's revisit verse number 10, because this is the verse we're going to key on here today. What does verse number 10 say? Paul says this, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." So let's combine what we know from verses 6 through 9 that was studied with this statement from Paul here in verse number 10, because it's all in context. We can accurately conclude this, that the false teachers in the churches at Galatia found that by presenting a false gospel to the people at these churches, they were pleasing the people and they were gaining the favor of the people. And we all know that there are some people walking the face of this earth who love to please other people strictly for the result of gaining their favor. Now, you may be asking yourself here this morning, well, Mike, what was the false gospel that they were presenting? Shouldn't we know this? Well, the answer to that question is going to come up, not today. It's in a future message here in the book of Galatians. We will cover that. But for now, let's just be content in knowing that a false gospel is being presented to the people. And the people like it. They like it a whole lot. So this morning, let's talk about, start by talking about favor. What is favor? Now, here's the definition up here. Definition's also in your bulletin. Favor, according to Webster, is this: friendly regard shown towards another, especially by a superior, or it could mean partiality. When we get the word favorite from that word, it's obvious. We all may have a favorite song or a favorite movie, etc., or a favorite type of car that we like to buy or purchase or drive. And it's one that we are partial to. We're partial to that. Well, these false teachers that were infiltrating these churches in Galatia, they wanted friendly regard from the people. They wanted the people to be partial to them and not to others and the others' teaching. They did not want to make any waves with the congregation. Could you imagine that? Not wanting to make waves with the congregation. The bottom line is this: they were people pleasers. Have you ever heard that term before? People pleasers. Let's talk about people pleasing here for a second. We got a couple fill in the blanks in our bulletin. Let's start with this first one. Number one, people pleasing is the motivational force that drives a person to make decisions based solely on the level of approval they believe that they will receive. People pleasers have learned that it feels really good to be liked by others. So they steer their words and their actions and many of their decisions in a direction that offers the most approval for them. So I go into these churches in Galatia, and I find that by feeding them something contrary to what this Apostle Paul has already fed them, that they like me. I find that I'm gaining their favor. I like this. I really do. Because I like to be liked. Because I am a people pleaser. Well, the next fill in the blank. And we got Will Robinson up on this one. Warning. It's a warning. Anytime you see Will Robinson, there's a warning. Fill in the blank number two. Warning. When the motive becomes pleasing people over pleasing God, then that becomes idolatry. Ooh, now it starts getting serious. When the motive becomes pleasing people over pleasing God, and that becomes idolatry. When our motive is popularity, to gain favor, which in reality is really solely to make me feel good about myself, we have switched gods, little g, and we have erected a shrine to a competing god. And that competing god is a god of self. It's a god of I. It's a god of me. And folks, when we do that, that becomes idolatry. People pleasers strive to please everyone because in reality they are trying to please themselves. And unfortunately, such people pleasing words and actions, as we see here in Galatia and in this book, will come with a cost when people pleasing concerns the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that cost, according to Paul in verses 8 and 9, is a pronouncement of anathema. Oh yes, I love that word. Anathema on those who place themselves above the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, This is serious business. That's why I have Will Robinson and the robot up here on the screen. That's when it gets serious. We are talking about eternal ramifications here by preaching a false or a true gospel. We see a similar issue going on here with Jesus. And I have this verse up here, these two verses from John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. And it says this, "Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him," him being Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue." Next line. "For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." In this situation with Jesus, some of the religious rulers were starting to believe in Jesus, and that's a good thing. But they would not say it publicly because in doing so, that would get them cast out of the synagogue. And they certainly can't have that, certainly can't be cast out of the synagogue. So the question must become, whose approval are they seeking? Whose approval are we seeking? Let's look at another verse that we find in Matthew, this one from chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, and it says this, and these are the words of Jesus, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." And it might sound something like this. You might actually hear a person say something like this. "Well, I didn't exactly deny Christ. I just didn't want my co-workers knowing that I was a Christian." You may have even heard that before. Sounds like one, a person who would say that, sounds like one who would rather have the approval of men than the approval of God. A person who would say something like that sounds like a people pleaser to me. And if I'm not mistaken, even the Apostle Peter found himself in a similar situation when confronted with knowing Jesus after the whole garden experience. How did Peter respond? He said this, "I don't know the man. I don't know him." Peter was not about to be associated with another person who was about to be put to trial and probably put to death. In that moment, Peter placed the approval of men over the approval of God. This situation that we see here in Galatia, we are seeing in many churches today. And the Apostle Paul warned us of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He says this, and how prophetic, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Folks, people pleasing is a two-way street. It's a little bit about what the people want to hear, and it's a little bit about what the false teacher wants to provide. They actually feed off each other, according to these verses. It's not that the false teacher comes busting down the doors of a church and inundates the congregation with false doctrine. That's not quite the way it happens. That's too much in your face. I'll tell you how it happens. They find out what the people want to hear, and then they tell them what the people want to hear. As the song says, it's a little bit me, it's a little bit of you. It's a little bit me, it's a little bit you. And folks, that is what's happening happening in too many churches around the world today, especially right here in the United States of America. And it's happened so subtly over the past 120 years that today we find ourselves in a terrible mess. We do. Sure, there are those people who thirst for the truth. You know who that is? That's you. That's you. You thirst for the truth. I know that. I know you thirst for the truth because that's why you're here. And I'm convinced that all of you would never settle for anything less than the truth. But people like us, churches like ours, are no longer the norm. Folks, we are the exception. We are a minority. People who hunger and thirst for truth. So let's look at a little more at these words from Paul to Timothy. So why are people not seeking the truth? And today I want to give you two responses to that. And there's going to be more than two. Today I'm just going to cover two. So why do people have itching ears? I know it's up there somewhere. They want to have their ears tickled. That's it. Why do people have itching ears today? Let's go to our next fill in the blank. Number three, too many people today are not seeking truth. They are seeking fulfillment of their carnal desires. They are seeking fulfillment of their carnal desires. Let's just look at the Word Faith movement that's out there. It's been out there for several decades now. They turn Jesus into a genie who will provide for you all of your needs, get you out of debt. They will make you well, and Jesus will even find you the best parking spot at Walmart. Those are the words of Joel Osteen. This Word Faith false gospel delivers exactly what the human condition, what our flesh craves. And there is nothing in their gospel, in the Word Faith gospel, about denying oneself, taking up your cross and following Jesus Christ. There is nothing in their gospel about how trials will test and perfect our faith. Actually, their message is that if you have trials, you don't have enough faith. But you see, the bottom line in this kind of environment is their message is a message that they present because it's a message that the people want to hear. It's a message of self-fulfillment. And self-fulfillment draws crowds. And self-fulfillment sells books. And they like that because they like to be people pleasers. And there is a good chance that if you turn on quote-unquote Christian TV, you're going to see these kinds of things happening. Why? Because satisfying our carnal desires is popular, it's desirable, and it sells. All while making the TV preacher a little bit richer. That TV preacher, in reality, is a people pleaser. Nothing more, nothing less. Not one who shares the true gospel. Let's look at our final fill in the blank. Number four. Too many people today are not seeking truth. They are seeking a message that is not offensive. Oh my, we've heard this one, haven't we? This works both ways too. The people do not want to hear about sin, do not want to hear about judgment. They do not want to hear that their actions will have consequences. They want to hear that God loves them and approves of them just the way they are. They want a church and they want a preacher who will tell cute stories. One who will never make any demands on the people to rise to their roles as men and women in the church and in the home. One who never challenges the people to get out of their comfort zone and share the gospel with an unbelieving world, or to get involved in any kind of ministry work. These kind of people want to have and hear a non-offensive message. They want a country club that has the name of a church written over the doorway where you go in. And there are church leaders. That's from the people. And let's talk about these church leaders that are non-offensive. There are these leaders of these churches who will never preach a message that is offensive. Why? Because if I do, then you might go away. And if you go away, your money goes away. And if your money goes away, then I don't get paid as much. We can't have that. They prefer prestige. They prefer popularity. They prefer power. After all, big numbers must mean that the preacher man is certainly doing something right. That means that the preacher man must be really good at what he does. See, it's all about pleasing the people and tickling their itching ears. That's what the thing said, tickling their itching ears. It reminds me of something that Sally Field said back in 1984 when she was accepting her Oscar award. She said this, "I can't deny the fact that you like me. Right now, you really like me." Folks, preachers, some preachers say the same thing. They want to be liked, so they will say anything that fulfills their carnal desires, their fleshly desires, and they will say anything that is non-offensive. I don't want to hurt your feelings with what I say. So let me just tell you the good stuff that's in here in the book. Sorry, folks, that's not who you got. Not who you got. When God is in the equation of who we need to please, the answer is obvious. We please God, we don't please people, or we don't please anything or anyone else. And Paul makes it clear what happens if we do. He says that what's at stake is our if what is at stake is our desire to please people. He says this: if we are trying to please people, if we are trying to please men, then we are not bondservants of Christ. So, folks, we all need to decide, who do we really desire to please? Or let me ask it this way: do we really desire to be bondservants of Christ? Because when you answer that question, you'll answer the question who you want to please. Because if you want to be a bondservant of Christ, if I want to be a bondservant of Christ, we want to please who? God. Amen? But if we don't, I don't know if I want to be a bondservant of Christ, you will find yourself pleasing people instead. Folks, eventually we will arrive at the place in this epistle where we will identify exactly what the false teaching was in these churches at that time. You can even read the rest of the epistle and you'll figure it out for yourself. But at that time, we'll revisit this message today and find out why these people were people pleasers with the message and false gospel that they were presenting. So there's more, a little more truth that's going to go along with this once we know what that false gospel was. Beach Grove, the truth isn't always easy, but it does matter. And I promise you, it will set you free. Let's pray.